We are in our talk called What Can You Do? And this will be the last week that we'll be talking about this. It's been 6 weeks study, and I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. But anyway, you know, we're talking about basically what can you do to contribute this year to make LifeGate Church accomplish and help it accomplish everything that it's set here to do and supposed to be doing. So that's what we're talking about. We said the number one was connecting a small group. Circles are better than rows. I've got the T-shirt now, so I know what that means. The second thing that we said is, you know, serve on a team. You know, you're entitled to your time and your money and all your talents and stuff, but what are you doing with them? Jesus says, you know, take them and use them to serve people and become great in the kingdom. And the third thing that we talked about is give. You know, give a percentage, not just a couple bucks, but strategize your life so that your finances are orchestrated by God and that it's an 8-1-1 principle. Understand the principles of giving, that there's giving that intervenes and there's giving that prevents. And what we should be doing is emphasizing on the prevent. And, you know, and strategize your 8-1-1 kind of a principle that live on 80%, give God 10%, and make sure you get 10% to stay out of financial difficulties. And that's God's plan. So what I want to talk about today is number four. And number four is simply this, invite a friend. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. Now, it always concerns me how church migrates. It's a natural phenomenon. It's like geese flying south in the winter. You know, it just happens. A church will migrate and focus on itself and inwardly rather than maintaining a focus that's outwardly. What I mean is this: we migrate to a place where we focus on keeping people and lose our focus on reaching people. So this is kind of where I want to go. And when you get to that place where you're only focusing on keeping people, what reaching that you accomplish is basically accidental. You know, somebody just happens to come to church rather than being purposefully reached. I want to ask you a question concerning our church, LifeGate Church. What do you feel? That we're number one, focused on primarily reaching people, or number two, primarily focused on keeping people? What do you think? I hear two. Yeah. And I agree. You know, we had the thing last Sunday night, the wonderful dessert thing, and I told them to leave these ornaments up and stuff. But anyway, we had the thing, you know, and I was thinking about that. You know, I don't remember meeting anybody last Sunday night that hadn't been here before. And one of the reasons that we have those things is so that we will. Gives us an opportunity and a place to invite people to come and be here. So is this something we need to talk about, don't you think? So ask another question. What did Jesus focus on? Was Jesus focused on, number one, reaching people, or number two, keeping people? Both. That's a kind of a trick question. But he was. You know, I mean, you think about Jesus, he wasn't confined to a building, was he? He would go out and he would reach people. And then he would teach them and keep them by ministering to them. And this is what I'm really after today, because I really think that that should be our focus, is balance. And what we end up always doing is going this way. You know, we go to always keeping people, and we forget to focus on reaching people. So Jesus said this. He was just about before the ascension. This is the last thing he told his followers. He said this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. He says, therefore go. Go to all the nations. Why don't you go reach people? And then he says, then I don't want you to make them disciples. I don't want you to make them disciples by baptizing them, and I want you to make them disciples by teaching them. I want you to keep them, but I want you to go reach them. And so he's very balanced in his ministry and what he tells us to do as well. But we Christians, we church folk, we migrate to a service, to a time just really for us. For example, we have our own language in church, you know. You know what language is called? It's churchese. Churchese. And we have our own language. Amen. And hallelujah. And glory to God. And sin. And we have our own language, you know, and we have these phrases. Jezebel spirit. And the spirit of the Lord is moving. And you know, and people that aren't educated in that language, they kind of feel left out. And I love the language. I mean, it exuberates me. It excites me. It gets me going. But we can't do it at the expense of not reaching the people that Jesus wants to reach. And you know, and so our services are kind of, we go that way with them. We migrate to church service and worship service for us. From time to time, I'll have people come and they'll say something, send me an email or say something to one of us about you know, why don't we sing more songs? Why don't we do more spiritual things? Why don't we do those spiritual gifts like we used to? and a couple of things I really want to say here. Number one is these people that say this, they're not reaching anybody. And they're doing exactly what I'm talking about. They're focused on themselves, and they just want a service for themselves, and they've forgotten about reaching people. And the second thing, listen, we sang four songs, and we haven't heard that quite as much since Judy suggested that we just stand up all four songs rather than let you sit down in the middle of it and forget you sang to, because we sang four songs. It doesn't take me four songs to get into praise and worship. I mean, if you need 10 songs, well, I don't think 10 songs would help you. If you can't get in there by four, you ain't going. More songs is not going to help. And concerning the spiritual gifts, where did Jesus really use his gifts? Where? I mean, he did use them in the buildings, but most of them were they not? Out as he was out in life with people? Listen, you're not confined to your spiritual gifts right here. Okay? So, I mean, let's do them out there where they're supposed to be used, right? But anyway, what I want to do is I want you to take an imaginary journey with me. I want you to imagine yourself. Now, put yourself into this scenario. There's somebody in your life that you really love. You really care about them. And they're in a mess. You know, their life's in a mess. They're into all these bondages, and they're in a mess. And, you know, their marriage is falling apart. Their finances are falling apart. And their children are in rebellion and just in all kinds of trouble and difficulties. And so imagine you've been talking to this person, inviting this person to church for years, a long time, and you're really concerned about them. And finally, you look up one day, and they're walking in the door. And you see them, and you hastily get there, and you get them a cup of coffee and a donut, and you bring them, and you put them beside you where they can sit beside you, and you save your seats and so they can sit together. And then you say, come on, let me show you around. And so you take them to the back, show them the men's room and the ladies' room, you know, and you start noticing some things. There's some papers on the floor, you know, and maybe some donut crumbs or donuts or coffee cups sitting around. You'd never noticed that before. What's going on? And so you're going to go take them. They've got some children, perhaps, and you're going to take them to the back and show them the children's areas and the children's church areas and stuff. So you're taking them to the back, and the kids are running by you. And you say, oh, you got to slow down, walk. Now, they never bothered you before. You never told them to slow down before. What's going on? So you come, and you sit down, and finally the service starts, you know. And when we start pretty loud. If you hadn't noticed, we kind of go loud, you know. And there's this guy up here, and he's jumping, and he's clapping, and he's doing this stuff. And you're noticing your friends, you know, they're not really into all this. They're not clapping. In fact, what they're doing is they're standing real close to that seat in front of them, and they kind of got it gripped. And you're noticing that you're not really getting into it like you normally do either. And so about the second song, you know, you're noticing they're looking around, and they're just in a different environment, and are the words staying up long enough? And you know, you're just wondering, you know, I hope they're enjoying themselves, and you're really focusing with them. And by the end of the third song, you're thinking, you know, this is going a little long. I think we ought to sit down here, you know. And by the fourth song, you're glad that it's done. You know, we can sit down. And what's the difference? Why suddenly do you notice every little thing? Why suddenly? Are you noticing paper on the floor and donut crumbs and coffee cups? And why now? Why? It's because you're looking through the eyes of a non-churched person. You're looking through the eyes of a guest. You're looking through the eyes of someone Jesus wants us to reach. And it's different now. It's just totally different. Now, let's continue the scenario because it goes to me too. You say, okay, it's time for preaching stuff. And if I'm not cautious, I'll fly south too, and I'll go long. I'll do it. It's like it just happens, you know. It's like unintentional. I'm just flying, I'm going along, and you know, and I don't intend to, and if I'm not cautious, I'll end up talking about the seven golden lampstands, you know, in the book of Revelation, or the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. It's hidden way back there in the holies of holies, and I'll start talking about the golden pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of stone, you know, and stuff that most Christians don't know about. And I am often something that's totally irrelevant, because that's what I love. That's what I love to teach the Bible. I love to study the Bible. I love to share the Bible. And I like to get a little deep sometimes. But I forget sometimes that people here that aren't like me, that's not their thing. You know, they're not into all of that. And I've just lost them. And they're ready to go. And I'm only half done. And it's just, you know, and so I've got to constantly remind myself, Delbert, work on your time. Delbert, work on your relevance. Make sure that it's relevant, because if it's not relevant, it doesn't mean anything to anybody. So you know, we got to realize this kind of stuff. So when you invite people, you're going to experience, and I think it's something that we need to do a couple of times a year. Make sure that somebody's here with us, and we have to experience church with them through their eyes, seeing what they're seeing. And what's amazing is that every little thing becomes important when you bring somebody to church. Every little thing. What becomes important is how long we stand. What becomes important is the music too loud? Is the music not loud enough? Which is really not a problem here. What's important? You know, what becomes important is who's speaking. What becomes important is I hope Pastor Delbert doesn't say something stupid. You know, what becomes important is, you know, what's going on back there with the children. I hope that one of those big kids don't beat up my little kid. What becomes important are things that never were important to you before. Why is that? Why is every little thing important now? Here's why. Because every little thing is important. If we're talking about reaching people, everything has got to be right. Everything, so that they can experience the best experience possible when they come here. See, God has put us all around a network of people and a network of people around us. And we should be able to invite people to come to our church and have the confidence that they're going to have the best time possible. They're going to have a great experience. That we can be confident that they're going to sense the presence of God. That God is going to speak to them while they're here. In some form, in some way, through song, through the Word of God, through prayer, but some way that they're going to encounter God. And that becomes vital. That becomes so vital to us. And every time you invite somebody to come to church, they're not going to respond positively, you know, the first time especially. You're going to invite them to come, and they're going to say, no, not this Sunday. Or they're going to say, try to say something polite, at least most folks will. And they'll say, you know, no, not this Sunday. But don't worry about that. That's okay. See, because one Sunday they will. Here's what's going to happen. One Sunday, they're going to encounter a crisis. One Sunday, one day, they're going to hit something where they need God. And you're not going to have to ask them to come. They're going to come on their own. And what you want to do is you want to process. You want to put yourself in a position so that when that day comes, that you're the first person that comes on their mind. You're the first person they think about. Few people are ever going to come the first time that you invite them. It's like we're programmed to say no. I don't know why that is, but it's like we're programmed. You know, we're supposed to say no when somebody invites us to church. I would suspect that most of you, when someone invited you to church, whether it be this church or another church, the first time or two at least, you probably said no, right? Because we're programmed. But what we got to understand is we're beginning a process. We're on a mission. It's not a one-time deal. It's a process. It's a mission. It has a purpose behind it. You've got to purpose and position yourself in their lives with a smile, with a glow, with a happiness, with an exuberance, with an excitement, so that when that day does come, and remember, that day will come, when that day does come and they have a crisis, that you're the first person that they think about. You're the first person, because one day you're going to look up and they're going to come walking in the door, and there they're going to be. If you have done it right, that's what's going to happen to us. Every single one of us are going to experience this. I was preparing my lesson, and so I was thinking about Kathy Patterson. And so I emailed her, and I asked her, I said, Kathy, will you jot down a few things and help me just a little bit. Told her what I was doing, and I said, "Will you, in the emails, will you jot down a few things and just your experience?" I said, "You know, remember, I want to, you know, how long did I work on you? How long was I relentless? You know, how long did it take? What was going on in your life when you did come?" And so about 15 minutes later, she emails me back with just a few things, you know, just. And I want to read you just a portion of it, just half of it. I just want to read the half of this to you. But here's what she wrote me back. She said, "Where do I begin?" She said, "I remember it like it was yesterday. You did indeed keep after me, and I'm so glad you did. I love to see you and Lance come to the store for supplies. You both were so full of joy, happiness, and just glowed. It was not a show or front, but who you two really are, inside and out. And you definitely practiced what you teach. And that's what Mike and I love so much about this whole new life. As far as when I decided to finally come, it was at a difficult time to my grandson." See, there's always something that's going to bring him. And though I wasn't asked at that time asking her to come, I probably didn't even see her that week. But it was a difficult time. And so here's what she says. "He was about to go to Military Academy Youth Challenge, and I had been wanting to get back in church. And quite honestly, I thought I would just start and visit each and every one until I found where I was at home. He, Taylor, and I got ready one Sunday and started driving, and I actually drove past and went to the Buy Low parking lot. I stopped and said to Taylor, 'I just don't know where to go.' And then you came to mind. And I ended up on the parking lot of LifeGate Church. And the rest, as they say, is the beginning of the rest of your life." Wow. "It was nothing like I had experienced before. But I knew I wanted to hear more and more the way you translated the word. Everyone has been more than wonderful. And I truly love each and every one of you guys." And that's the way it should work, isn't it? I just think that's just so cool. And that's what happens in lives and the people that you know. You're on a process. I mean, you know how long it took me to get Kathy to come to church? About 10 years. I'm not kidding. I met her when we were building my office back there, when we moved from up down there to up here, my office, and that's when I met her. And that's a long time ago. And every time I would see her, I would say something to her about church. I may not invite her, but I would mention church. I would take her a CD. I'd just stop by, she'd have my, and I just say something about church. Perhaps we had a special event, I would invite her. But I just want you to know this is how it works. And the Bible tells us this is a really cool story about a friend inviting a friend to church. And I want to talk about it just a second because I think it's so much we can draw from that concerning invite a friend. And so it's found in the book of 1 John, and it's verse 43 in the first chapter. So I want to read this to you. It says, John 1:43, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee." Now, you know that. We've been through Luke, and he's spent most of his time in the area of Galilee. He says, "Finding Philip." So Jesus purposefully went to find Philip. He said to him, "Follow me." And then Philip found Nathanael. Now, he purposefully went looking for Nathanael. And the point I want to make here is that, you know, sometimes we think people are just going to fall in front of us and just stumble into our presence, and we're going to get to witness to him. No. It's on purpose. He purposefully went to find Nathanael. And what I ask you right now is, who are you purposefully finding? Who is it that is on your list to go and purposefully find? So he went and found Nathanael and told him, "We have found," so there's a whole lot of finding going on here, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Okay, a lot of finding going on there, but I want to point out just a few things here. It was on purpose. And what I really want you to see, though, is that Philip had this excitement and this enthusiasm that he went. And he went on and on and on about this Jesus guy. You know, he just couldn't stop talking about him. He said, man, we have found the one that Moses wrote about. You need to come and see. We have found the one that the law talks about. You know, I want you to come and see. We have found the one the prophets also talk about. You know, he just went on and on and on. What is there about your church that you can go on and on and on about? What about praise and worship? Well, we could go on. What about the teaching and the preaching? I hope we can go on and on about that. What about the children's ministries and the student ministries and the special events things that we have? There are things to go on and on about. How about the coffee and the donuts? What can you go on and on about? There's got to be something. And you got to go with a smile on your face. You got to go glowing. You got to go happy so you can get into that position. So enthusiasm is contagious. So obviously, Nathaniel caught on to this enthusiasm that Philip was having a little bit. And so he asked him, obviously. He said, well, who is this? Where is he? He's Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in talking and inviting people to church, you got to get ready for the downer. Because there's usually a downer when you're inviting people to church, right? And so here's the downer. Here is what Nathaniel said. Put that up there for me. There you go. No, come on. Put it up. Scripture, there you go. Nazareth, can anything, let's change this. LifeGate, can anything good come from there? That's a downer. And you take it down. And if you're not ready and if you're not braced for it, it will knock you down. So, listen, let's be honest, okay? We got to be real here. When you invite somebody to come to LifeGate Church, it's not like asking them to go to First Baptist. Are you with me? It's a different deal. And they probably heard something. And you know we're non-denominational, and they don't know what to expect. You go to a Baptist church, you pretty much know what you're going to get, right? They don't know. And so you got to kind of work through this. And you got to be braced for that downer, and you got to learn. Have you ever received a negative reply when you invited somebody to come to church with you? If you haven't, you haven't invited enough people. You need to invite more. But you got to learn how to smile at that. You know, just smile. And most folks are tempered. Most folks are going to be nice, even if they just don't. It's the last place they'd ever want to go. They won't tell you that because you're their friend. But there are some people like Nathaniel. They're just straight. I mean, I love, and I'll show it to you later on if I can remember to. When he finally does go see Jesus, when he finally gets there, what's so cool is Jesus says, "You're an Israelite with no guile," and the newer translation says, "There's nothing false about you." He's Nathaniel. Okay, most of you know Roger Carlton. Think of Roger Carlton. There you are. I mean, just straight. Just. What you see is what you get. He's just going to say it, you know. And he's not wanting to hurt you, are you? It doesn't. He's not going to want to hurt you, but he's just going to say it to you. Roger and I have been talking about this a little bit. So many people have come to minister to him and to love on him and support him through his time of sickness here. And I was sitting there last Sunday at the benefit, and I was just thinking about that. And I was looking around all these people. And it was just amazing. And I was thinking, why? Roger's got so many friends. It's just because that's him. He's just real. And this is Nathaniel. And so some people will just say, LifeGate, isn't that where? Didn't that preacher? Didn't he say? Don't they believe? And you're going to get this stuff, you know? And you got to be braced for it. And if you're not braced for it, what it's going to do is set you back. What it's going to do is knock you down. You're going to say, well, I'm sorry I brought it up. You know, I didn't know you were going to reject me this badly. You know, goodness, I'm sorry. Here's what you need to understand when this happens to you. They're not rejecting you. You're their friend. And they're not even rejecting God. Everybody wants to know more about God, right? What they're rejecting is church. They've heard church. They've been hurt in church. Somebody they know has been hurt in church. It's church they don't like. And that's why we've got to be so cautious about what we do. What we do while someone's here. So anyway, but I love what Philip did. He didn't allow that to amputate him. You know, he didn't allow it to maim him. And he didn't go negative with Nathanael. He didn't, you know, he didn't even attempt to defend Jesus or defend Nazareth. He didn't lose his enthusiasm. He just kind of said, he said this. Well, listen, I don't know about all that, but why don't you just come and see? Let's put it up there. Here it is. Come and see. Jesus. It's getting back at me. So anyway, come and see. I love that. Now, you know, there was more converse than just that. That's the gist of what he said. But what Philip basically said to Nathanael was something like this. Nathanael, I don't know about Nazareth. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? I don't really know about that. Yeah. But I do know this. I do know this. That if you'll just come and see, if you'll just come and see. He said, I don't think that those questions, that might be a good question. You know, is anything good come out of that? But if you'll just come and see, he said, I don't think your questions and all the negative things that you've heard, I really don't think that's going to matter anymore. Because what God's going to do in your life and the presence that you're going to feel while you're there, he's going to speak to you and all that other stuff, it's just not going to be that important anymore to you. And this is what we've got to be able to help somebody with. Because some of you were that way. You'd heard things about LifeGate. You didn't know whether you wanted to come or not. You know? But you came and you came and you were kind of set on the back row like Kathy did. And, you know, and the 007 thing going to slip in, slip out. And it's not going to happen here. But anyway, that's what you think you're going to do. And you're going to put up these defenses and the service begins and the singing and the praise and the preaching and the Spirit just begins to break all that defense stuff down. And all of a sudden you feel the presence of God. And it begins to touch your heart. And you want to hear more. And that's how it should be, isn't it? That's how it should be. You see, here's what happens. Here's the reality of the thing. Is the Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ. Now, that sounds so funny. You know, see, I'm not the body of Christ. And you individually are not the body of Christ. But when we get together, somehow we are. What that means is that as long as we're on this side of heaven and on this planet, the closest we're ever going to get to Christ is right here when we get together. And what that means is that when you get somebody here and we're doing it right, they're going to sense the presence of God. God's going to speak to him just like he's going to speak to Nathanael. God's going to minister to him. And they're going to, heaven's going to open for them, which is exactly what happens here to Nathanael. So I want you to see this. Now, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to talk through it. You can read it if you need to, but it's going to be on there, up on the screen for you so you can see. So Philip gets him to Jesus. Philip gets Nathanael to Jesus. And as soon as he gets in the presence of Jesus, Jesus speaks to him. And he says something like this, and like I just told you, you know, you're a person with you're not fake, you know, there's nothing false about you, and somehow, and it doesn't speak to me, and it doesn't really minister to me, and it probably doesn't really minister to you, but for some reason that really spoke to Nathanael, and that really meant something to him, and he went, whoa, you really are the Son of God, and Jesus replies something like this, you think that's something? Just that one encounter with me, you think that's that big? Buddy, you haven't seen nothing yet. You just wait. Heaven's going to open for you. You're going to have a supernatural encounter like nothing you've ever had before. You're going to see angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. You're going to enter into a supernatural experience unlike anything you can possibly imagine. Like anybody ever before you, like anybody ever after you. And that's exactly what happened to him. See, why did it happen to him? Why did that encounter happen? Because Philip would not give up. Philip never stopped. Philip was on a journey and on a purpose. And he just didn't say, okay, I'm sorry I asked. No, I just come and see. He just stayed on him. And I need you to be bold this year. I need you to be bold this year in your inviting people to come. I want you to know that when they come here, that they're going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is going to touch their lives somehow through the singing or through the Word of God. But for somehow, in some way, they're going to encounter God. And what I really want to happen for you is this. I want you to see that. I want you to experience that. I want you to look up one day and there is that person or persons that you've been wanting to get to church and it's taken a long, long time. And you look up and there they are. And you get to watch them be baptized. And you get to watch them and their family start serving God. And you get to become a part of their story. See, Nathaniel couldn't talk about Jesus without talking about Philip. He was a part of his story. Kathy can't talk about coming to Jesus and serving Jesus and having the experience that she's had without talking about me. I can't talk about Jesus and what all he's done in my life without talking about a man named Billy Shara, who invited me to church, who got to see me and my family baptized, who got to see us serve Jesus and go into the ministry. I want you to experience that, because I think that's just a tremendous thing to have on your resume when you stand before Jesus. When you stand there that day, I think there's nothing better that could be written in the book of remembrance about you than how you were involved in the coming of people to Jesus Christ himself. Hey, we have a great thing going on, you know. And what can you do this year? Number one, you can connect in a small group. Number two, you can serve on a team. Number three, you can give a percentage. And number four, you can invite a friend. And if we all will do that, I promise you, we're going to have the greatest year ever. We're going to see more happen than we've ever seen. Heaven's going to open. We're going to have a great, great time right here in church. See, I want you to know something. We are involved in the greatest thing possible. There's nothing better. The greatest things that you'll ever do in life is church and family. And they just go neck and neck. That's the greatest thing. And here's why. Because church is eternal. Church was here before you were, and church will be here after you're gone. Church is eternal. And it has the power, because through the church, Jesus works. And God works. That's his entity. Let me show you this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says this. His intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose. The church is eternal. And through the church, God brings his wisdom. God touches the hearts and the lives of people, which is accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been invited to come. And church is not an obligation. Church is an opportunity. We have the opportunity, because we're in church, to touch the very lives of people. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And it's through the church his hope is expressed. And you and I are involved into it. And we can have a great impact on people. I want to end with this particular thought. Many of you didn't know this lady named Violet Callison is when I met her. She became Vi Putnam. But she's just this beautiful saint. She passed away a couple of weeks ago, and I've been kind of looking for a way to say something about her. She was 94. When we came to town, Willis Wilkie, he was going to Dr. Grimm's house, and then I'll show you how this thing rolls out when we do it. He went to Dr. Roger Grimm's house to install a telephone system, and so he went there, and he went on and on and on about me. He says, "You just got to come and see. You guys come and see." Well, the next week, Roger and his whole family was there. Dr. Roger was there, and Vi, his mother-in-law, was there. And they stayed. And it was an amazing thing. And up until Vi had her stroke, she stayed right here. And the reason I'm mentioning her is she is the epitome of those four things that I just told you. Number one, she connected. She was always involved in a group somewhere. Number two, she served. She made us younger people then feel bad. She could work circles around us. We put up all this sheetrock and stuff in here. Vi was called the mutter. Like mother, but mutter. You know, she was the, and she'd come and work all day and working all night. I mean, she was just amazing. So she served like everything. She made these cushions on our kneeling benches and stuff. And she's just an amazing woman. She always gave her percentage. Always gave her percentage, and she always invited people to come. So interesting, and so much so that when her first husband Freeman passed away, her old childhood sweetheart heard about it, and he began writing her letters, and he said he wanted to marry her, and Vi says, "Well, I will with a couple of things. First of all, you got to move here, and you got to go to church with me," and he did. He's a dear, sweet guy. He's just amazing. So she did that. She was the epitome of what I'm talking about, because Vi understood the eternalness of the church and how the church has the power and the potential to reach into the very soul and the very heart of people and do something that nothing else can. Jesus expresses his hope through his church. That's what he uses. And we are it. Let's pray.